Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Shay, buttoned up. You ready for Brian Kelly in 2 hours?
Yes, I got up and showered and dressed early and got the tidbits on the site, and I'm ready for Brian Kelly, 2.5 hours away.
Hard-working site we have here, wearing button-ups at home, ready to answer your questions in this mailbag podcast. Before we get started, again, $1 for a year on the site. Become a subscriber. You can submit your questions. You get a ton of information, which we have been rolling out for about 2.5 months, Shay. So we're settled in on the site and good to go. So, all right. Do you have the questions up or do you want to
get I've it got them up.
All right.
All right. Obviously, LSU coming off a 13-10 win at Arkansas. The spread set at 3 points all week. Matty B, everybody asked why. It's because Vegas knows everything, guys. And they were right. Actually, this I think it ballooned to like six whenever
KJ was out.
Jefferson was ruled out right before the game. And then obviously they played a little musical chairs. They just played two different quarterbacks and things didn't go right for them. But not a shocker. But LSU wins. LSU then right when they landed, actually found out they were SEC West champions because Alabama beat Ole Miss in a very tight game. And LSU will now face Georgia, who won on Saturday night. So book your tickets to Atlanta, guys. Matty B and I will be there. We are booking our tickets today. So we'll see many of you in December. And, that's the stage. You know where we're at now. Let's do a little mailbagging. Mr. Virgo, what factors do you think played a role in the offense playing so terribly against Arkansas, or was it just an off game? Matty B, 284 total yards, notably passing yards, 86, held under 100. I'll let you give your thoughts. I thought Auburn and Arkansas gave LSU fits in a similar way, which I thought Arkansas just had a really good game plan. I think Barry Odom was a very good DC. And I think you brought up a good point on the post-game pod. I think you're allowed to have bad games, obviously, but I do also think that Jaden Daniels' two turnovers in the first, three possessions, as you noted, Matty B, that's not something he's dealt with this year, and I think that probably got in his head a little bit.
Yeah, I think that kind of set the tone to where he didn't want to be the reason they lost the game, and so you might have seen him hesitate on some throws that he's been making the past few weeks. We talked about it on the post game pod. I thought Arkansas's game plan was really, really solid. And Arkansas kind of won the line of scrimmage in a lot of downs, which surprised us, right? I think that's kind of the main thing is for the past few weeks, we've looked at LSU's offensive line as being one of the most impressive, units on the team, even with the two freshmen, even with Dellinger out. And now, going into this game where they moved Drew Sanders around, they were able to really hit with the pass rush effectively. I think that kind of also unsettled Daniels even more. So it was a lot of things. I do think it was an off game, but it is concerning, obviously, moving forward into a Texas A&M game and then theoretically a conference championship game, you want to be playing a lot much better than you were. So you want to take this UAB game as very seriously and try to fix it.
It's about a 2-touchdown spread in the UAB game right now, 14-15 points. If you get a few points for playing at home, I guess you could call it probably a little under a 3-touchdown spread. So expectations are you win. You'd like to see them clean some things up. But again, I think this just goes, they had a bad game. I don't think anybody thinks LSU's a juggernaut on offense and that because of that, you're susceptible to playing poorly at times. And look, they're not going to give up 7 sacks a game.
Yeah.
There were times that game that looked a little kind of like the beginning of, Malik Nabers drops a ball that hits him right in the hands, that could have moved the chains on one drive. This is an excuse, I think it's reality. I think it's 30 something degrees and playing on a field that had iced up overnight and guys just, are a little tensed up, playing a little differently. You're the hunted now and not the hunter. We called it a trap game, whatever you want to say. If you don't believe in trap games, it's just a tough game. Every SEC West game is a tough game, especially on the road. So I don't think LSU is immune from bad games, and that was not a great game.
And I also said after the Alabama game in the press box when we were doing the post game pod, I said this team isn't good enough just to roll the ball out and go beat Arkansas, you know, and A&M to end the season. Yeah, they still have to execute at an incredibly high level, in my opinion, because that's what this team has done this whole season. Like, that's what it's taken game in, game out to win games. They've had to execute. And so it's still the case against UAB. It's still the case against A&M. And that's what they're going to have to clean up.
We kind of plays into this next question. We can open up even more. Cairo Tiger asked, we're SEC West champs. Given the low expectations we all had to begin the year, what's the main reason this team has had so much success? Some talking heads say it's a down year in the SEC. I'm not buying that. My opinion, the coaching staff knows how to adapt and adjust. They do a great job coaching that type of guidance. I think that they know how to win, and I think that counts for something. And Brian Kelly's talked about that a lot this year. They fight. We saw that from the opener against Florida State when they fell behind and crawled their way, clawed it, however you want to say, back into it. To Auburn on the road, to falling behind against State at home, to Bama. I mean, there's just been games where they had to claw their way either back into it or in a back and forth game, or this Arkansas game where it's like nothing's going. You got to lean on the defense. I think they know how to win, which is impressive for a team that wasn't much of a team. It was just a collection of new coaches and transfers and true freshmen and all these different things. But I also think too, there's a buy-in that Brian Kelly talked about from the start of doing things the right way, being held accountable. Look, I talked to some coaches around LSU after the Arkansas game, and they were thrilled with the win. And they said, look, we weren't expecting to be perfect this year, but this team just keeps going out there and fighting. And way more often than not, they end up being the team that wins at the end of the day. I think there's credit to the staff. I think that there's credit to the players. I think it's everybody. This is kind of a true concerted effort from a collection of individuals to, hey, let's focus on one game at a time. And if we can win that one game, that puts us in a good spot to move forward. And it's worked for them. I mean, only two losses on the year, and one of them being in week one is not so shabby.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Just from a coaching perspective, how much they've been able to improve this roster and improve like each individual unit as the season goes on. Like if you think about it, think how much the quarterback position has progressed. Think about the offensive line, receiver, which was, I mean, I don't want to say it was a question mark at times, but it was, you know, trying to get the most out of the talent you have. I feel like they've done a pretty good job of that with this offense. And then defense side of the ball, Mason Smith goes down. They get the most out of Mekhi Wingo in that defensive line. Getting the most out of the linebackers, figuring out what combinations work. Secondary, you know, is a bunch of transfers. They've done a really good job there. I just think the overall improvement and the overall, like you said, buy-in, I think has been huge for this team. I definitely don't think it's been a down year. And even if it was a down year, they still played Tennessee from the East division, right? It's not like they played Florida and Vanderbilt, right? They played Florida and Tennessee. So, I mean, you have to play Tennessee, Ole Miss, Alabama, you know, Florida, and then Arkansas, A&M. So it's still a very, very
– Yeah, and I don't buy into a down year because the only thing that makes it a down year is that if Alabama wasn't good, are they not as good as they normally are? Maybe, but – they've only lost two games, and it was to LSU and Tennessee.
Still a very good team.
Tennessee's – and both good. Those games came down to the very last play. So
– I mean, heck, SEC's going to have four of the top seven now? Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee?
Yeah. I don't think it's a down – I don't think it's a down.
And then Ole Miss is really good, so.
Yeah, I agree with Cairo. I don't buy into it being a down year. NolaFan33, safe assumption Peyton Todd replaces Bramplett next season as the punter. Do y'all have any intel on how he's progressed in his 2 years at LSU? In y'all's opinion, which incoming freshman will make the biggest impact for the team next season? I haven't heard much on the punting situation. Bramplett, I think, is a super senior. I'd have to check on that if he had any eligibility to come back. But Peyton Todd would seem to be in line to be the replacement. I think he was injured a good bit his first year and just transitioned to being a full-time punter. He played multiple spots at West Monroe, including defense. So I think that first year, last year, was getting healthy, settling into being a punter. they bought themselves some time with Bramblett, and Todd would presumably be the heir apparent, but we'll have to see if this is it for Bramblett or not. I'd have to check and see how many years he was at Notre Dame for sure there.
Yeah.
Then he asked about next year, the freshman make the biggest impact. We've talked a ton about this. I think it's Deshaun Womack. I think B.J. Ojulari is probably off to the NFL draft, and that edge spot opens up, and there's some talented guys there that you could put, but I like Womack a lot. I think he's going to play a lot next year. I think Savion Jones has some versatility to play along the defensive line, so you don't have to stick him at that edge spot. Maddie B., I don't know what your thoughts are on life after B.J. Ojulari in this defense.
Deshaun Womack was my favorite defensive line commit that they have. When I watched the tape, like, Womack is...
He's different than they are. Yeah, yeah, he's the best.
Womack to me is the best, and he is the highest rated, so I believe he backs that up. Matt, I mean, if we look at, like, a Mac Markway, if they can get him,
that's a neat spot, right?
Yeah, tight end, it's a neat spot. Depending how they close out the class, there may be some other names there, but...
Zaylon's Hurd, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Zaylon's Hurd.
If you want to keep playing freshman offensive linemen.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep rotating freshmen in there. I mean, corners, I assume they'll hit the transfer portal for a corner or two. And then you have a couple young guys there. But, a guy like Dalen Austin can fit his line. It's
Dalen
hard.
Dalen Austin could be a good choice. Dalen Austin's had a very good senior year.
Yes. Yes, for sure. So I think this is a conversation to have after signing day. Just because I feel more comfortable after signing day.
Well, and then we'll know after February signing day, we'll know which players left, draft, all that. So you'll have a much better feel for where the open spots are on the team. So, but I like Womack early on. Russell DeBoe, we all know about Georgia's D, but how likely is it that the next two teams can replicate the Arkansas defensive success game plan? Matty B, you watched UAB because they played North Texas this weekend.
Yeah,
and are they good on D?
Painful. I mean, they held my North Texas at 21 points. I think UAB, they have some talent. UAB has always been a really, really good Conference USA team. Like, they've consistently won 8 games most years. This year they are a little down. They're 5-5, but they did play Liberty close. They have some fluky close losses. UAB. I don't think can win the line of scrimmage the way Arkansas did. But I do – I think 14.5, I would have had the spread at probably around like 17 or so. So I'm not terribly mad at 14. But, yeah, I think they should be okay against UAB. The A&M game is interesting. I mean, UAB – I'm sorry.
A&M's
Auburn,
defense has not been their issue.
Yeah. Auburn A&M was like 7-0 through the third quarter pretty much. I don't even I didn't watch that game. But it's like teams aren't like – dropping 100 on them for the most part. So
no, A&M's defense is not the issue, and they've got some very good players in the front seven, really, along the defensive line. So, golly, I think with A&M too, Maddie B, it's like when you get to that point in the season, who for A&M still playing? I mean, they've had guys sitting out, they've had guys getting the flu, they've had guys getting. They didn't allow Moose Muhammad to go into the game, evidently, because he wouldn't take off his armbands or like sleeves or whatever. So it's a mess over there. To predict what A&M could do in 2 weeks from now would be a lot, because you don't even know what A&M's up to against UMass this weekend. So
yeah,
I do think A&M's got a good D, and certainly they could attempt to replicate that. But you would hope that LSU then can counter it with knowing, hey, look, we've run into two teams that defended us this way and we didn't have much success with it. And how do we get away from that? So
I think it starts on the offensive line. I think the offensive line will play better than what it did against Arkansas. And I think that'll go from there.
And it's not unrealistic to think that we saw them play a lot better in that versus Bama, who you would think has more talent than Arkansas does in the front seven. Bourbon and Cheerios, when are we building the Josh Williams statue? No doubt. The Harold Perkins flu game, but Josh Williams, a career high 122 yards and a touchdown, massive for them. No word on the statue, but I'm right there with you, brother. Okay, here's a good question. Matt, it hasn't been asked in a while. I'll let you take it.
True.
Bourbon and Cheerios, is this just a lost year for Jack Besh at this point? This is a guy that was in the top two in both major statistical categories a year ago as a receiver.
I'll let
basically
you look
doesn't play.
Yeah, I'll let you look up the stats while I do it, because I honestly don't even have the stats. I haven't looked at his stats in a minute. Lost year. I mean, it has to be called that, right? Because he's not injured. He's been healthy. He's been on the field at times. He just doesn't get the ball thrown to him. And there have been it's clear to me that Jaden Daniels is comfortable doing what he's comfortable doing, if that makes sense. Like, he's comfortable throwing the ball to Malik Nabers and Kayshon Boutte, like, and Mason Taylor. Mason Taylor is in there as well. But I think Mason Taylor was kind of ingrained in his head from training camp. So you have those three guys. We have not seen a bunch of other guys really emerge as being a third or fourth receiver. Jahre Jenkins had a good start to the year, hasn't had many receptions since then. Brian Thomas didn't play last week, but still similar thing there. Jack Best, just the hard part is I wanted Jack Best to play the Mason Taylor snaps early in the season, and now Mason Taylor has been significantly better. So you don't even have, I can't even justify that argument anymore. And then it felt like after he fumbled the kickoff against Tennessee, we haven't seen him again. But
Well, he
he's
got
obviously,
hurt, and
yeah,
then he
he's got
missed a
hurt.
game, and
And he's playing. I'm not saying he's not playing, but it just felt like at that moment, after that point, it was just like, all right, well, Jack Besh is on the back burner.
here are your stats, and I'll give you catches, yards, touchdowns,
Yes.
which is surprising here. You talk about leaning on Nabers and Boutte. I'm not sure if I would have, God, if you would have made me guess this, I would have probably even been wrong on Boutte. Nabers and Boutte both have one touchdown this year.
Crazy. Crazy.
Wild. Nabers, 44 catches, 528, one touchdown. Kayshon, 38 for 388, one touchdown. Dre, touchdown machine over here, 21 catches, 292 and 5. Brian Thomas, 20-280 and 3. Then you mentioned Mason Taylor, 22 catches, which would be one to two above Dre and Brian Thomas for 214 and 2. And then you get into like Kyron Lacy, 16 catches for 150. Besh does have a touchdown. Besh has as many touchdowns as Boutte and Nabers. How about that? Just only has 10 targets. So I think he's just behind those guys. He's behind Kyron Lacy. So Kyron Lacy plays a good bit more than Jack Besh does.
Jahre's
So.
touchdowns. Yeah, Jahre's touchdowns this year. He had two against Florida State, one against Mississippi State, one against Florida, one against Ole Miss. Yeah.
Dre's your touchdown guy.
Yeah.
Let's be real about it.
Yeah.
Oh man, we should have had Billy on the pod here. Nah, he would have maybe not given a biased opinion or unbiased opinion on this. We'll let you do it. Is the coach of the year down to, and I don't know if it's just down to these guys, but let you pick, Sonny Dykes or Brian Kelly?
I wonder if Heupel's in that discussion. But
Sure.
yeah, I'd have that group just off the top of
Is
my head. I'd
Kirby in
have,
that discussion?
you know,
I mean, they lost a ton of guys to the NFL
no,
draft.
yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just Coach of the Year is always like who exceeds expectations to a degree, you know? So if that is whether you like it or not, kind of the criteria. Yeah, I think it's Dykes, BK, and Heupel probably would be the top three, however you want to sort that out. If BK beats UAB and A&M, you probably would need Dykes to lose a game in the regular season to win that award. But if, I mean, if LSU goes into the SEC championship game at 10-2 and TCU lost the game, like if they lose to Baylor this week, I mean, yeah, it could be BK, and that would be well deserved. Well
No
deserved. But
doubt.
Dykes has been awesome at TCU as well.
Bogeys or Freds? I'll take this one. I was a Bogeys man forever in my day, but now Freds is all the rage. So I guess
Yeah,
I
Shaq's
like
not going to bogeys anymore. Shaq's going to
that. I
Fred.
guess not. Yeah, but I was always a Bogeys guy, so I'll stand there. Let's see. Liger 9. What is the likelihood that Jaden Daniels returns to LSU for a second season when throughout the offseason might we have a confirmation on the decision? He's really flashed in games, but lacks NFL consistency at this point. Honestly, I think we might know something this weekend. It's senior night. And if he doesn't take part in senior night, I think that's telling. And I have heard that he may not take part in senior night. So there
Does that
goes.
happen a lot for LSU where juniors that are probably going to the pros participate in
Well,
senior
he's, I
night?
guess, too, he's a senior, but then he's got eligibility left. So we've seen it before. There's been guys who didn't go on senior night, and then it became evident that they were wanting to come back or at least entertaining it. But we'll see Saturday night at 8 p.m., which is a ridiculous kickoff. But I have heard rumblings that he's expected to return. I don't think that's a big shock. Like, even Gary Danielson, I think it was the Ole Miss game. Maybe, yeah, said on the broadcast that, like, and they had sat down with Jaden during the week that he was like, oh, yeah, he's coming back. So, like, I don't think Jaden's name is popping up on any NFL draft boards at the moment. And that would be the only reason to leave and not take your final year of eligibility.
My question is, like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if he's progressed like we've seen this year, a whole nother year offseason with Sloan and Den Brock and Kelly and the staff, and then rapport with this team, I would think would only put him in a spot to have more success. So I do not expect Jaden Daniels to go pro. I expect Jaden Daniels to be back.
My question, separate question to that, because that's what I'm kind of – you brought it up and I'm interested in. So is, like, B.J. Ojulari going to participate in senior night?
That's what I was going to say. We more often see guys who are underclassmen who will probably, Kayshawn, like, go run out there and do something, even if it's not with their parents or whatever, to have that final run out. So Kayshawn, Ojulari would be guys I would put into that mix of.
Okay.
They're not seniors, but it's probably their last home game, so then they do something. But that was in the less and then the O era. We'll see how BK handles that, because
okay,
this will be his first senior night. But yeah, I would Ojulari, Butte, guys like that you're expecting are not coming back, that are just juniors and wouldn't even be participating in senior night. Are they out there? Do they do something? So we'll keep an eye on it. Yeah, be something to watch this weekend. CAF 12, is Tasilia Kana first on the phone if Mickens flips to Ohio State? It's a recruiting question, but it's an easy one. Mickens is committed to LSU, took a visit to Ohio State this weekend, got offered. Now is going to go back for an official visit for the Michigan-Ohio State game. I would think that, like, it makes sense for both edge rushers, but LSU's got four total edge rushers now, and Howard, Womack, we talked about being instant impact guy, Dylan Carpenter in Louisiana, and then Joshua Mickens. And they would still take Akana right now. So I don't think they're tied together. If Akana commits, they would take him even if Mickens sticks. And if Mickens doesn't stick, then maybe you do push for Akana a little bit more, but they're already recruiting him pretty heavily. So I think regardless, they're after him there. Funky Bunch 10, safe to say Daniels plays better against man defense. Or was Arkansas success due to blitz and pass rush? Hoping Denbrock can just adjust moving forward to avoid teams emulating the same defensive approach Arkansas has success with. We touched on the emulation part of it a second ago, but your thoughts, does Daniels just play better against man defense?
I think it's easier for his reads. Like, you know, I don't want to simplify it too much, but we saw at times in the Alabama game, right? It's like, all right, did Malik beat his man? Did Kayshawn beat Eli Ricks? Like, it was kind of simplified, those things. Whereas Arkansas, once they kind of started taking away some of the shorter stuff, it forced him, I think, into processing a lot more stuff. And he was already uncomfortable in that situation, in that game, I should say. And so then the zone kind of, I think, got to him at that point. There were some moments where, in my opinion, there were just not many people open. Or if they were open, you had to hit them on time, on target, and he just wasn't comfortable in that game. So it's, you know, at this point in the year, all defenses know what they are and what they can and can't do at a high level. So I'm not expecting A&M to look at Arkansas and be like, all right, we're going to replicate that exactly. And Georgia, you know, God knows Georgia's going to do whatever what they do. So I think for the most part, it's just about Denbrock and Daniels learning from that game and, you know, going forward, making the right adjustments, figuring out how they're going to handle, I think, more than anything, handle a pass rush that beats an offensive line that we haven't had to worry about that in weeks past, right? The offensive line's been really good. So if that happens again, how can they counter it?
Set it off, Mike. Do you expect surprise visitors for the last home game of this season? Not any surprises. You don't really have many surprises for like a non-con game, like especially at this point in the season when a lot of guys are playing high school football in the playoffs and all that.
Yeah.
They get kind of dialed in, but Jordan Hall is a defensive lineman, and Pimba's another defensive lineman that are still out there uncommitted that have talked about visiting for this game. So they wouldn't be surprised, but it'd be notable if they actually showed up. So we will keep an eye on that throughout the week. Bayou Tiger 22. Do you think the offense Saturday was stale due to play calling, weather, or personnel? Was looking, and I thought I heard them say ran the ball 50-plus times, which is crazy. We didn't seem to take advantage of their weakness, which was their secondary. I guess if you're including Daniels' dropbacks, which weren't passes as runs, they had 51 runs. So, yeah, it'd be over 50. But a career-high run for Josh Williams with 19. And I think it was something we talked to some about this already on the pod. I think weather did play an issue. I think play calling does play an issue. I think personnel-wise, they just didn't play well in the offensive line. Like, when you – yes, Arkansas's weakness was the secondary, but Barry Odom masked it really well because they sacked him 7 times and did enough on Boutte and Neighbors to where they weren't wide open all game long. You've got Daniels' 2 turnovers in the first quarter. They're blitzing you all game. It's cold. You just can't get anything going. I wish they would have run it more than 51 times. You know, I was screaming all third and fourth quarter, just run it, Josh Williams, on every single play.
I agree. I mean, we've talked about a good amount. I'm going to skip to the end of his second question. He says where he's like, where he asked if Jaden Daniels is struggling with confidence. He says, seems to be a week-to-week battle with his confidence. I mean, we had just seen multiple games in a row, basically every game since the Auburn game. I mean, I think he was fine in the Tennessee game too. But, like, since the Tennessee game, we've seen him be nothing but confident, decisive, and on time. So I wouldn't say it's a week-to-week thing. I think this was the first time since the Tennessee game that he has maybe struggled with that, even though I don't think the Tennessee game he was that bad.
I agree. And he's got, you mentioned this on the post game. He has like 40-something college starts now. Like, we have not seen him rattled at any point until maybe this past weekend. And I think it was, like you said, he turns the ball over twice coming out of the gates in the first quarter. You're in a tight game. You're not getting anything going. And he didn't want to lose it for him. So then he becomes a little bit more hesitant. And you can pull that back out of him through film study this week and just resetting things and getting back at home, playing UAB and moving forward. So I'm not worried about Jaden Daniels at all. He's not going to be a Heisman guy every weekend for you. Like, you know what he is. And right now, more often than not, he's been very good for you. So
yeah,
you're going to get games like that. LSU, Houston, or HOU. Were there other players afflicted with the flu or other sickness besides Perkins? Not that it's like an excuse. I think a lot of guys are sick right now. Hell, me, it was the Matty B flu game. Yeah. I was sick the week prior. I think everybody's sick right now, especially it's just going around everybody's locker rooms too. And I don't think it'd be enough to worry about it moving forward. Will Brian Thomas be available for TAMU? I don't know. We'll have to ask Brian Kelly about that today. We're recording this before the Brian Kelly presser, and he obviously was a no-go at Arkansas, but I'm not sure what's up with him. Has Jack Besh been – okay, we answered that one. Hit with the injury bug. He was hit with the injury bug a couple times, but he's also back out there.
Yeah.
Lack of usage, or is it just a top five of Boutte, Neighbors, Jenkins, BTJ, and Kyron Lacy? I think you hit a nail on the head. I think that they're playing five. Yeah, then I think they're just playing five receivers ahead of him at this point. Then that's clearly what's happening. BK Utah Tiger ESQ. I don't know if that's like Esquire or what. BK seemed to indicate that Arky had our offense figured out Saturday and we didn't have adjustments. Do you think BK and Denbrock are able to add some new wrinkles over the next few weeks? Again, I don't think it's a worry. I mean, yeah, you can always be better at in-game adjustments. And now look at that and say, we've run into a couple of teams that have defended us this way. Here's what we want to do. I just think you're allowed to have a bad game. It's what it is.
Yeah, and I said this in the postgame pod. It felt like they came out expecting to be able to throw the ball all over Arkansas. And the first
they tried
two drives,
it, yeah.
The first two drives didn't go how they thought it was going to go. And so then they eventually changed up and started running the ball more and had some success there. So it's just about kind of getting that footing back and being able to adjust maybe a little bit quicker.
Why no real TP Tiger? Why no wheel routes or dump offs to Emery? That worked big time in other games. I can't remember the play that he fumbled on. I guess his knee was down where I felt like everybody was watching it and is familiar with the team and Emery when he was running in the open field. It was like, hold on to that football. Here they come. And sure enough, it was bang, popped right out. I can't remember if that was a handoff or a dump off, but I know a lot of people are just saying like, look, you gave up all these sacks, run more screens, run more short stuff. I would say we've gotten through this whole chat. No one's even said anything. I don't think Mason Taylor had a target in the game, and he's usually your safety valve on the underneath. Certainly didn't have a catch. I'm not sure if he had a target. Yeah. But I don't know. I think that they can look at that and say, hey, look, here's what we wish we would have done. I also think they just got in a spot where they're like, we just need to run the football. And when they did have pass plays called, a number of times they had procedural penalties that then back you up, and then you're really all out of sync. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like the Emory stuff, the wheel routes, all that, and I think we'll see more of it.
I agree.
Grape Swish, do we have a shot to beat UGA, or is this Avengers in-game one and 14 million type of thing? The more I think about it, the more hopeless I feel. I would look at the SEC championship a lot like I've looked at this season when they've had success. Whatever happens, happens. Did you expect to beat Alabama? No, you were double-digit underdogs, and you beat them. So crazier things can happen.
Yeah.
LSU's not as good as Georgia. There's not an expectation that they should go out there and beat them, but that's why you play the game. I think there's not much pressure on it. Even if a college football playoff berth is on the line potentially, I'm not sure LSU's feeling a ton of pressure in that game. I think they just have to go out and execute.
Yeah, there should be zero pressure at this point. And obviously in the moment, everybody's going to, you know, want to beat Georgia and all that stuff. But I think it's going to be tough personally. I mean, what do I know? I thought Alabama was going to win too. So, you know, like you said, that's why they play the game. I definitely think Georgia's a different animal than Alabama and Tennessee. But you get to that point, everything else is icing. I mean, if they are 10-2 going into the SEC championship game with a potential hypothetical playoff berth online, you cannot ask for anything more in this
year. And if they're 10-2 going into that game and lose to Georgia, they're playing in a New Year's Six game, which is far cry from anything anyone thought was possible. So I am with you. Bingo Bandit, Bruni dropped those predictions for the final spots in the signing class. You know Matty B ain't doing that.
Hey, man. Hey, y'all don't want him. Hey.
You know, you ain't ready for Matty B's prediction.
Y'all don't want him.
Three Little Birds, how does this class finish? Actual names, please. Can use probably. Okay, that's a recruiting pod question. NIL, Derek Williams, recruiting pod. Desmond Ricks, NIL, recruiting pod. Are these things happening behind the scenes that are exciting? We've had a womp-womp finish to recruiting in most of the recent years. I disagree there. You signed Harold Perkins on signing day last year. What are you womp-womping about? Will we finish strong or womp womp? Oh man, Three Little Birds is getting nervous.
Oh, man,
we'll talk about a lot of that tomorrow with Billy on the recruiting pod. But
yep,
I think they'll finish fine. Last one, Bourbon and Cheerios. Do you need to wait until after Thanksgiving to put up Christmas lights?
I mean, most people put them up mid to early November. I think. What are you a Christmas
That's
lights
aggressive.
Person?
Are yeah.
You? Okay.
Not till after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Okay. That's I think aggressive. My parents are that way too.
If you're playing Christmas music around the house and you've got lights up in the middle of November, you need to put more effort into your job, your family time, hobbies.
Oh my anything. God, people get it. You don't like Christmas spirit in November? November 15th?
No.
Dang.
The people that, and here's what really makes me mad. The people that are so responsible but that they've already gotten all their like Christmas shopping done.
Oh, that frustrates you.
That's aggressive. That is so aggressive. I'm paying for expedited shipping out here on December 20th, and you guys are buying in the summer.
Oh my God, that's funny. That's
all
funny.
Right. I think that's it. Oh wait. All right. I did skip one because I know that RHCP93. Oh, will we see Walker Howard against UAB? I don't know. You got to be comfortably in control of the game to get.
I just want to win the game,
Howard. So I don't know. You would hope.
I think there was a thread of this on our board. Man, you just approach this game just like every other SEC game. Like you do not approach this game that much differently. Because honestly, I don't know how much worse UAB is than A&M. Like if we're being real,
UAB ain't Southern, where you can get three quarterbacks into the game. Like, it took Nussmeier going in and turning it over multiple times to get Howard into the game.
UAB's not even – I mean, they're better than New Mexico. Like, I'm not saying UAB is going to threaten to beat LSU by any means, but this isn't, like, some awful – you know, this isn't FIU. This, you can go down the list. This isn't UMass, who A&M's playing. this is a decent program that has been really, really good in Conference USA year after year, has some good bodies on the offensive line, has put guys in the pros, and I think has talent that you need to, you know, account for. So, and
I'll
they got
their quarterback
back last week. So,
in the Southern game, Walker Howard got in, took a sack, but didn't even attempt
they just
a
ran
pass.
The ball.
They just ran the ball. So, even if Walker Howard gets in the game, I don't think he's throwing it. They're not like if Walker Howard gets in the game, they're up big and they're not out there slinging it around just because they want to see what happens. So, I don't expect it.
Get the offense right against a really solid UAB defense and go from there. That's all my focus is. Get the offense right, get some confidence, and then go into A&M because I just can't imagine approaching this UAB game like they're Southern or like they're even like they're New Mexico. This team is significantly better than both of those teams. So we'll see.
That's it. And that's all.
That's it. There we go. Let me put the hat on. That's all we got for y'all today. Like Shay said, we'll have the recruiting podcast out tomorrow. Brian Kelly presser at 12 o'clock today. That'll be up on our channel as well. So check that out. And I mean, subscribe to the Bengal Tiger for $1. You can send in questions. I mean, you know, all those recruiting questions y'all asked, actually, in my opinion, have been answered on the board several times over, whether it's names, class predictions, all that good stuff.
Me and Billy have class predictions dropping today, both of us noon on Monday. So by the time you're listening to it, it's probably already up. Peep it.
I didn't even check the planner. Didn't even know
it wasn't on there. This is a surprise. We got bullied into it by people on the board last week, and we're like, screw it. We'll just do some on Monday. So
that's funny. That's funny. All right. Well, that's all we have for y'all today. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. That we greatly appreciate it. Leave a like, comment, share with a friend as well. Follow us on Twitter. All that good stuff. We appreciate the support, and we will talk to y'all later.